but had a good time. But we're going to talk about a little bit, where do you live? You know, not necessarily talking about a location, but talking about where do you dwell? You know, not only physically, but emotionally. Where do you dwell emotionally? Where do you dwell mostly spiritually? Where's your home? You know, sometimes we think dwelling's a house, but we're going to talk about today's dwelling as being a home. You know, a place familiar, a place, a home is more intimate, a place is that's more comfortable. It's a home, a place where you feel safe, where you feel protected, a place where you're taken care of and provided for, a place where someone's there to help with the difficult things that come and go, a place and people you trust, a place where a relationship not just exists, but it's predominant and takes precedence in your life, takes precedence over other things. You know, our God is a dwelling place that we should be living in, that we can live in. And our dwelling is in Christ. You know, it's not in the worldly things around us. Our dwelling place is in Christ and all He has to offer us. And that's what I want to do. And we're going to read all of Psalm 91 today. It's 16 verses, but we're going to read Psalm 91 today. It has to do with being in Christ, being in God, dwelling in that place. And we're going to read that this morning. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's quite a list. That's quite a list. If you're dwelling in Christ, that's what the list is that happens when you do. You know, just look at all those benefits that are there. You dwelt in a shelter that gives you rest. You know, we all need rest from time to time. You know, there's a shadow. A shadow may not seem like much to some, but in the heat of the day, a shadow can cool you off and save you from that heat and that scorching sun. And we just went through Jonah. Jonah appreciated the, he got his work kind of done and sat down, and he appreciated the vine that God provided to give him shade. And he had a rest and a respite from the heat that he was in, and took rest. You know, even riding motorcycles on a hot day, if you're riding in the sun and riding in the shade, it's two different temperatures. You can really tell the difference. So it provides a place to lie down in peace, you know, without the trials of the day, just to not think about those things, just to rest in Him and just think about Him and the things He provides. You know, refuge takes you in, covers you, takes you in, and protects you from harm. And as a fortress, it shields you from the outside attacks. You're safe inside. And there is a lot of attacks. You know, as Otterbein's finding out, there's a lot of attacks that come our way. But we trust in that refuge and that fortress, and we place ourselves in that care. We got to put ourselves there. And the Lord provides that protection for us. And there's not a better place to put ourselves. But we have to put ourselves there. It says the fowler's snares are out there. Satan, the prince of this world, sets all kinds of traps. Now, if you aren't dwelling with the Lord, he doesn't have to work so hard. But he's always setting traps, you know, and he wants to catch you with, you know, the bait's unfulfilled promises, telling you what you need, you know, telling what you want, telling you how you need to look after number one, yourself, telling you you need to enjoy life and what the world offers while you can get it. You know, the don't worry, be happy. Just take care of yourself. Doesn't matter what it costs anybody else. Take care of yourself. The trouble is if there is happiness, it's short-lived that way. You take the bait and it may last for a little while. It might taste good, but then the trap closes. And you never get the true fulfillment following Satan's desires. He keeps you from the true joy of the Lord that he wants you to have. So you got to rest. You got to dwell with the Lord, not be out there into the traps. Got to be careful. Lord, on the other hand, says he protects us, provides an armor for us. We all know about the armor of God. He dresses you up, protects you. And best of all, those who believe in him, it's based on his faithfulness, not ours. Faith is the channel to belong to him, to get to him, but his faithfulness is his promise to us. He loved us before we loved him. He chose us from the beginning. You know, God's faithful to his promises, even though we fail him time after time. It says his faithfulness is our shield. It's there to protect us. He is faithful no matter what we do. He's always there. It says, in the dwelling place, we will not fear. You know, we don't have to fear worldly, ungodly things because they truly do not have power over us. Now, sure, lots of things can happen. Lots of trials, lots of tribulation comes up. But if you really think about it, it's just a temporary effect on us. It cannot last forever. It may seem like it, but it doesn't. Because God has us in the palm of his hand. God's in control. And we have to look to him. And we can look to God in all things. You know, it's a place to go. It's a place to... You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't be there. In that dwelling place of God. And dwelling with Christ. It's a place to be when you're stressed. Go there. Go find relief. When you're disappointed. When you're discouraged. Maybe just when you're tired. Sometimes we just get tired of everything. Need to rest. Maybe you feel lonely sometimes. Lots of prophets in the Bible felt they were the only ones. They felt loneliness. They had to go rest in him. Maybe if we're fearful. Might be a lot of fearfulness going on these days. People trying to do the right thing, saying the right thing, spreading the correct word. Because there's a lot of evil out there today. Maybe if you're tempted, you better be there so he can protect you and guard you against that. Even if you're just sad, go see him. Rest in him. He'll encourage you. It's okay to be there in good things too. If you're happy, that's a good thing. If you're thankful, that's a good thing. Tell him what you're thankful for. Be there. He's there for all of it. You know, he's the refuge in all of it. And it says his power is there for us in all things. You know, his power is there for us in marriage. Puts us together, builds an example of him in the church. Holds it together, binds it together. He's there in divorce too. You know, he helps those. You know, things happen. He doesn't leave you. He's still there. He's still there. You go through the marriage vows. He's there in sickness. He's there in health. He's there richer. He's there poorer. The circumstances, it doesn't matter. He's always there. He's there until you're called home. You know, and this is, again, for Christian. These are for believers. He's there. He's that refuge. He's that dwelling place. That's where we live with Him. You know, and you know, even in sickness, you can dwell with Him. You know, I feel confident saying He's going to cure you. He's going to cure you. Now, I stuck with M's. Sometimes you pick letters and stick with names and stuff. I stuck with the M's. So He's either going to cure you with medicine. You know, they use spices and oils in the Bible. They used, you've heard of the Balm of Gilead, and certain cities made eye salve and things. There was a lot of medicine back then that they used to help people. You know, anointing with oil. You know, James says, pray and anoint with oil. A lot of the anointing oil was medicinal too, thought to help and to add. So oils help too. There was medicine. God uses medicine to heal as well. And if not medicine, He may choose miracles. You know, miracles come about. You may say medicine is a miracle, and maybe it is sometimes, but I'm talking about the make-no-sense healing miracles, the kind that confuses the doctors and they can't explain it. There's other miracles, too, when you have things and you go in and get operated and they get it and don't find as much as they thought, or they get it all and you don't need any more, and all this and that. So all of that, those are miracles. He uses medicine and He uses miracles. Again, I like the ones that doctors get confused and can't explain. I like it better when they understand it. Joni listens to a guy online that had his own miracle. He was, explained a little bit of Bible study, but basically the condensed version, a fellow was 70, celebrating his 70th birthday. And he said, you know, my birthday wasn't cakes and presents. He was, they were getting together, him and his wife getting together. They were going on vacation with one of their kids and family, going on vacation. They was putting it all together. And he said all at once, he said, I can't do this. And he said he just felt so bad. And they called an ambulance and, they called somebody to come to the house. And he was in bad shape, and they called an ambulance, and they took him 3 blocks from his house to the hospital, and he was having heart issues and out of rhythm and all the fibrillations and all that stuff going on. And so his birthday was spent with wires and things and going all over. He said one evening that it was quiet, and as he was in the hospital for a few days, he was there, and his wife had gone home, and he said, you know, he's a Christian man. He said, you know, the Lord said, you believe I can heal you by 10 o'clock? It was like 8 o'clock at night, and everybody had left. He said, I heard Him say, do you believe I can heal you by 8, by 10? Of course, he thought that was a little strange to hear that, but he said, yeah, I believe you can do that. And then he said, he asked him again, do you believe I can heal you by 10 o'clock? He said, again, he said, yep, Lord, I believe you can do that if that's your will. And then again, the third time, he asked, do you really believe that I can heal you by 10 o'clock? And he said, yes, I believe you can do anything. Now, good things happen after threes. You know, a fish can spit you up. You don't have to stay in there anymore. Stones get rolled away. Good things happen at threes. Peter gets reinstated. You know, Peter was asked 3 times, do you love me? Well, he was tired. He went to sleep. He woke up and had to go to the bathroom, and he made his way in and everything. When he came back, the nurse was standing there. Said, "How do you feel?" I said, "Well, I feel pretty good." She said, "We thought maybe you would." She said, "All of a sudden, at 10 o'clock, everything went back in place. All the rhythm's good. All the flow's good. All of our machines, everything's perfect as it should be." It happened at 10 o'clock. So he says, "You mean I don't have to go through the shocks and all of this in the morning?" She said, "I don't think so. But we'll talk to the doctor, and you'll probably get released in the morning." And he was. He was released the next morning. So here are you with medicine. Here are you with a miracle. And you know the best part, if you're dwelling in, I should have got to clean it. If it's not medicine or a miracle, I'm going to use the King James Version, you get a mansion. NIV says he's gone to build many rooms. There's many places. King James calls them mansions. So, either by medicine, by a miracle, or by a mansion, you're going to be healed. It's a true home with him. You can't lose. Because he's got you. Because you're dwelling with him. Goes on to say, not only is he there, but he sends his angels to guard us in all of our ways. So left us up with their hands to protect us. Y'all heard of guardian angels. Do you believe you have one? I think you probably do. Now you might wonder where he or she is sometimes. Some of the dumb things we do and pay the consequences for it made you think of, where were you? You missed that one. But perhaps they were teaching you. Maybe you learned the lesson. You might say, "Well, I don't notice them." Well, probably not all the time. Ever wondered why you were delayed getting someplace? Maybe just to find out an accident had happened there when you would have been going through. Or maybe there would have been, maybe you were saved from an accident because of a delay. You know, that person in front of you or that train that crossed or whatever it may be may have stopped you for a reason. You know, how many car accidents happened and the person survived and they said, "There's no way. Should not have survived." Some may be slightly injured, some injured not at all. They just walk away from them. Maybe being looked after. Maybe you're walking or running and you trip up and you say, "Ooh, I would have face planted had I not caught myself." Maybe it wasn't you. Maybe somebody else caught you. Did you ever drive, maybe a routine drive, this happens more than it should, but routine drive fairly often, you seem to daydream a little bit, or something, maybe even nod off a little bit, and you kind of come back to reality, and you're quite a ways down the road from where you were, and you know you pass lights, and stop signs, and all kinds of things, but you don't remember them. A little scary to have no memory of those things you just passed by the last few miles. Maybe somebody else was guiding the car, watching for you. Joni and I, you know, had the motorcycle. She's mentioned it more than I care to mention, that we had the motorcycle accident, dumped us off on the road, you know, and dumped us off on the road, popped back up and kept going, but it didn't fall on us. You know, it didn't fall on us and scrape us down or anything like that. So Maybe someone else knew what was coming. So they dropped us off. Took the bike on up the road a ways. I think it's mostly unknown things that they're watching over us. The things we don't know that they do for us. But they're there, lifting us up in their hands to protect us. They're there for us. Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" They're there for you, those who dwell in the Lord, those who are there with them. Going to have an invitation in just a minute. I'll close, but just to continue on with angels a little bit. You know, angels are all around us and minister to those in need. You know, they say, serve those who belong to Jesus. You know, again, this is predicated on you belonging to Christ. You know, this is the benefits of it, the dwelling with Him. And they're all over the Bible. You know, they can take human form when needed. You see Sodom and Gomorrah may be the best example. The three angels come in, one of them being Jesus, you know, at the time, but come in and talk to Abraham, and they go save Lot. The two angels go and save Lot. Have to physically pull them out of that city. But angels there are to serve. An angel freed Peter from prison. Angels tended to Jesus after he was tempted for the 40 days in the desert. Angels again attended to Jesus after the Garden of Gethsemane, after he had prayed three times and needed strengthened. Angels are there to help. Michael comes in battles. Gabriel comes with good news. God has angels looking over us. Now, sometimes angels come as friends. And friends and family are there to comfort us and encourage us and minister to us as they can. Those that belong to the family of God and dwell in His presence while in this life. You know, dwelling in Him is a way of life. It's the way we need to be. It's that relationship. Don't be a guest. Don't be just visiting. It's not a place to visit. You have to live there. You have to live in His presence. If you're walking with Him, the talking with Him becomes much better and much easier. You know, things happen. We don't have to be thankful for everything. I don't think too many of us are thankful for sickness or troubles and financial difficulties and job issues. I don't think we have to be thankful for everything. But we can be thankful in everything. Because we have a God who watches out for us and loves us. Dwell in Him. Make Him your home. And one of the TV stations, where your heart is, that's your home. Where's your heart? So put it in Christ. Dwell in Him. All the things we just read, all the things that He'll do for you, that He wants to do for you, to provide for you. Dwell in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You for this Psalms that says so much of the things that You do for us, who You are to us, if we dwell in You. You're the refuge, You're the fortress. You guide us, You protect us. You lift us up. You even use angels, Lord. You double up on us. You even use angels to help us and guide us and protect us. Lord, You do so much for those that dwell in You. Lord, help us to live in that place, to live in that presence, to know who You are, to walk in that relationship, and to talk in that relationship. Lord, we thank You for who You are, the many blessings, and knowing that You're there and You're in control. And our life is Yours. And we just thank You, and we just give You the praise. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.